Is it them? Is it you? Does shifting your mindset and challenging your patterns have any impact on how you make friends? We are going to find out today on the final installment of Why It Is So Hard to Make Friends series. Today on Now What? Welcome to the only therapy podcast that can actually change your life. I'm therapist Amy Neufeld, and I do things a little differently around here. I'm going to give you clinical insight you've never heard before. And best of all, I'm going to tell you what to actually do to change your fucking life. This is Now What? Making friends as an adult is such a hot topic that it inspired this three-part series. In episode one, I introduced a diagnostic tool called pattern mapping that's often used in my therapy sessions. In episode two, I analyzed the pattern maps of my co-hosts and gave them, and all of you, action steps to start rewiring patterns when it comes to relationships. And now it's time for part three, where we see the impact that these action steps made on my lovely co-hosts. And I've got more takeaways in store today, just for you. Hello, friends, Jamie, Andrea. How are you guys doing today?
Today's rowdy already. It's only morning time and it's already like, it's a wacky day, but I'm good. And I've got stuff to talk about.
Well, Andrea, then go. Don't keep me in suspense. Well, hold on. Before you answer that though, seriously, can you just remind us, everybody, what you worked on this week?
Basically, my homework was to stay in a moment 10 seconds longer than I want to, because I can very quickly make a judgment call and decide that this scene is not for me. But the quieter lesson, now I sound like a therapist, but the quieter lesson that I will be touched on is the struggle that I have to let people show up for me, because I was, you know, taught, I guess, at a young age that no one's going to show up for you. Excellent. That is what happened to me this week. That was what, and I think that the two were like connected. I didn't stay in a room 10 seconds longer. I stayed open and willing to like connect 10 seconds longer to an established friend, and I let her show up for me.
Okay, I'm first going to take note that it was 10 seconds. I'll take anything I can get, but 10 seconds is great. That's great. And
wasn't
that might
10
be
seconds?
It wasn't 10%. It was 10%.
Oh, shit. You're right.
That might be your 10 seconds. And that is okay. And look, I mean, I am what I'm hearing is, you know, what you said about that, the quietness for you, what you really found out when we were going through your pattern map was about the why. That is where the pattern, that's where we want to shift in your pattern. That is where all the why is coming from.
Can I tell you about what happened? I went to lunch with a friend yesterday, and I historically, when I'm going through a hard time, and things are real hard right now in my world, I am super closed off, even to like really good friends. I'll give everybody the, I don't know what opposite of a highlight reel, like the worst, like I'll go through everything that's happened, right? Like, oh, 3 days ago, I lost my left leg. And then the day before that, my house burned down. And then the day before that, I found out that the person I thought was my sister really wasn't my sister. She's my evil twin. Like I'll go through all this stuff, right? And then they'll say, but how are you? And I'll say, I'm fine. How are you? Right? And then they'll say, what can I do to help you? And I'll say, nothing, I'm good. So I did that yesterday. Mm-hmm. But then when it got to Andrea, oh my God. And I didn't shut down. And I let my eyes well up with tears in front of another person. And I just said, I know. And then I didn't fill in the blank. I just looked at her and she looked at me. And then she said, what can I do to help? And I said, I don't know. I'm sure there's something. I don't know. And then she said, my sister has this beautiful lake house in Michigan, blah, blah, blah. I think that you and, you know, your husband should go there when you can. And normally I would say, like, absolutely not. Like, I'm not taking your pity lake house. You know, like, I don't know why. Like, I'm so uncomfortable letting somebody do something for me. I would rather pay full price somewhere than, like, take something, right? And I said, wow, I felt so uncomfortable saying it that I said, really? That would be so nice. And then she said, and I know this is like sounds so silly to somebody who's used to like accepting help, but then she said, I'm going to text her now. And I was stunned. I'm like, you're really going to text your sister for me? The best part is she said to me, Andrea, you and I have been friends for like 20 something years. You never let anybody help you. And you have to text me. She's like, the fact that all of this has gone on in your life in the last like month and you haven't told me is wild, but I also know that that's you. You have to text me and say, her name is Molly. Molly, I need you. Come over and sit on my couch. And I said, okay. So that's my story. I am healed. Now what? Mic drop.
Well, okay, Andrea. You know, therapists don't grade. We don't judge, but you did just get an A+ on the assignment. Jamie, watch out. Andrea, yeah. So you're right in that the 10 seconds, 10% longer isn't about physically staying. It's about emotionally staying also. And you really stayed in that emotionally. You were so vulnerable. My gut says, or, you know, many people in your position that have that same sort of pattern, once they said, oh my gosh, Andrea, you come in hot with maybe a joke or something quick-witted to say, and it sort of alleviates all pressure there and puts up the up your, you know, I'm out. That's what you did, like puts up that wall. But you didn't this time. This time, you didn't fill the space with kind of anything, but yeah, I know. That alone is 10, 20% longer and more. And then when you went to, I don't know how you can help. That hurt. That's hers. You didn't take over. She offered and you didn't have an answer for her, and that was okay. And you stayed instead of, you know, oh, I got it. Like, I've got, thanks though. That's so sweet. Yeah. Taking on the whole, you know, embodying and taking on everybody there, and you didn't. You answered her in a way that was vulnerable, and that's what we're uncovering here, and that's where it got uncomfortable for you, and if we were in office, that's where we would stay, in the discomfort, because all change happens in that discomfort. If you let yourself show up for you, it does sound so simple. It isn't. Because for a lot of people listening, that's the exact thing that feels the most uncomfortable. If you haven't been hurt, if people haven't shown up for you, if connection feels unreliable or unsteady, you don't just struggle to make friends. You struggle to let people in at all. So what do? We either, like you said, sometimes shut down, or you overcompensate. Maybe you say that joke, or you carry their emotional load for them and carry the whole conversation. What we don't do, though, is we don't sit there long enough to let someone meet us and feel us and us feel them. And that's why that 10%, or in your case, 10 second, longer matters so much, because it isn't about the room. It's not about the people, but it's about giving the moment enough time. And for anybody listening and thinking, yeah, that feels really uncomfortable. Like I said, that's the point. That's exactly the point. Get to that discomfort.
What I take away from this three-part series, it's not just everyone else's fault. It's just that there's stuff in us, and it's not just about why is it so hard to make friends, but why, for some of us, is it so hard to really enjoy the friendships that we have? Yeah. And I realize it's me. Hi, I'm the problem.
It is. It's just, it's hard to show up yourself. And that's what we don't realize, is that what are we bringing? Who are we entering the room? And sometimes when we show up, other people surprise us.
Ooh, that was like...
And scene. All right, Jame, beat that, man.
So my homework was to stop being soft and start telling people to F off. Right?
Okay, hold on. Wait. Time out.
Did I write that down wrong?
10 seconds.
Just for 10 seconds.
Just 10 seconds. And I did. You can tell a lot of people to F off in 10 seconds. No, really. My homework was to feel the flinch, to notice the flinch.
Good. You did not do that.
I did. In 10 seconds.
No.
10 seconds. No.
Okay, good.
No, really. My
Jamie, your growth there. Did you just say fuck off?
I said F off.
Oh, okay. Whew. Got a little worried for a second. Go ahead.
Wait, do you know what's really funny? When I was in labor, I was trying to do it natural. When I was in labor, I remember the anesthesiologist came in because I was finally like begging for an epidural at the end of it. And I was saying, F this, F that. I wasn't saying the actual word. So even in the throes of labor,
wow,
I was still
impressive.
Saying the letter F.
Man, that's impressive. It takes like a slight just shift in wind for me to go at it. Okay, so let's see what you got.
Okay, so my homework was to feel the flinch. And I felt it in a really big way. This is wild. And I'm like, did Amy send the unedited version of the second episode to my friend? So the friend I was talking about in the second episode, I am not kidding, called me yesterday. And it has been a couple of weeks since I got her text that I was telling you about. And it is, I just feel like the universe did this because, so most of my friends, we just text. But I have four friends in particular who will call. Andrea, you're one of them.
I know.
These three other friends, they always call. They're just talk on the phoners, which I love. Even though I'm a texter, I love hearing from them when they call. So this one friend who I've kind of pulled away from because it wasn't a balanced, healthy friendship for a very long time, called me. And I was so caught off guard. But I just assumed it was going to be a light conversation about like how our girls are doing. And she got right into it. And I was so caught off guard. I did not expect it. She's like, Jame, I feel like, because a lot of my close friends will call me Jame or James. She's like, Jame, I feel like you've been pulling away from me. And my heart, it was more than a flinch. Like, all of my organs just dropped to my toes. Like I felt sick because I love this person. I care about her. I want her to have a beautiful life. Like there's no angry feelings there. There's a little bit of sadness, but I don't want to hurt her. And I think that's why, you know, I've tried having a conversation with her a couple of years ago about this and it didn't really change anything, but I don't want to hurt her feelings. But when she asked me in like a split second that I felt that flinch, I kind of had this like moment of realization. I put myself in her shoes and I know if I really wanted to know why someone had pulled away from me, a good friend who has been in my life for a long time, I'd want them to just be honest with me and be able to have that uncomfortable conversation. And so I think before I would have been like, no, I'm sorry. I'm just busy in an effort to protect her feelings. But I think the kinder thing to do is to just be honest and explain why, like in a gentle way. And so I did that. I just explained how I felt and we had a really honest conversation about it. And I'm so glad I was able to go there instead of just like brushing it off and acting like nothing was wrong, because it just felt kinder to be honest in that moment. We talked about very specific things and she apologized, but now I have to be honest. I'm kind of left with like, now what? Now what do
now
I do?
What? You know, Jamie, oh my goodness. Now what? Your flinch really got tested there, right? I mean, she called you, she was being sweet, and then you had an opportunity to doubt your gut, to doubt what you were feeling, your flinch, and you didn't. You really paid attention to what was going on inside of you. And then, A+ student, again, we don't judge or grade, you took that further and spoke to it. But I'll tell you, because you really paid attention to that and trusted yourself more, you were able to show up. You were able to come out because you were feeling like you were backing yourself. And the belief you had in the idea is what gave you the strength to actually show up. Instead of doubting it and questioning it, when you're in that space, you're not going to feel strong enough to come out with it. But when you really do, then you have this conviction, right? And you spoke to it. And now you are back in that space. You're going right back to it and you're thinking and questioning again because, like I said a minute ago, it's really being put to the test because she showed up, she called, she reached out, it was sweet. You got everything off your chest. Does that change anything? The person that I want you to look at isn't her and her actions and that she took it in so well and she did it. I want you to look at you and what are you feeling? So the focus is always, we think it's the other. The focus is only on us. And what you just shared, you really, and you shared this on last episode too, you didn't really learn anything new, right? You didn't. You finally really just trusted something you already knew. And I want everyone listening to really catch that because most people think, I don't know what to do in a relationship. And that's not true. Jamie, you know, you just don't trust yourself yet. Once you did in that little moment, like, oh yeah, this wasn't right, you were able to speak to it. What looks like in real life is exactly, Jamie, what you described. You feel something off, but instead of listening, you explain it away or you normalize it or you give it more time. You need to gather more data. Well, maybe, I don't know. It was a really good conversation. You wait until, like you did prior, until it's undeniable. And by then, you're exhausted. And if you did try to notice the flinch out there this week, if anybody out there tried to notice it, you may have experienced it. You may have experienced like you felt something and immediately questioned it. You told yourself, I'm probably overreacting or doubting it a little. Like Jamie, you sort of like questioned, well, you know, maybe that conversation, that was a good one. So am I the one that's off? You went back to that. Then if you stay in something longer, you need to, right? After, or maybe like you, Jamie, maybe the person out there listening for the first time, you paused and you thought, hold on, what if I'm actually right? I did have a client, it was a little ways back, and I gave her a similar one, and it was flinch. And she said that she noticed the flinch. And she said she didn't do anything different, but that she couldn't unsee it. So she didn't quite get through all the steps that you did, but she noticed it. And right, because she noticed it, then her interactions with this person kept showing up. And that was enough. And that was enough to get her at the beginning of change. Remember, it's these little micro steps. And once you see it, you don't go back to operating blindly. So then that's where we can get some momentum.
And sometimes it takes multiple flinches. Like you might have to flinch 3, 5, 10 times where it's like, I'm done flinching. This is the decision I need to make going forward. And what's really interesting, you know, when I said to you, like, well, now what? Now what do I do? I feel like, and I wonder if there's people out there who feel the same, where you kind of get pulled back in again because someone apologizes, says that they want to repair. And I think being able to repair is probably like one of the best things we can all learn how to do. But when does it get to the point where, okay, I've tried to repair 2 or 3 times, and now it's time to just let go. And I know I'm at that point. And we talked about that really openly. And it's so hard to do that, especially when it's not a huge, big blowout fight. You know, it's easy to do this when it's huge and dramatic and there's mean things being said. But I think this happens a lot. And I bet you there's listeners out there who are like, oh my gosh, yes, when you just outgrow a friendship.
Mm-hmm. And that does happen. And again, the focus is on you and not the other person. How am I feeling when I leave this situation? What am I like? What is it making me do, feel, and think? And is that okay with me? And that's where we have to learn that, hey, we can still be direct. We can take care of ourselves without being mean, right? A lot of people out there are still struggling with no. They feel like they're in deep conflict if they say no, because no is a boundary and it takes care of yourself. Well, you're saying no to a friendship, and that's taking care of you. And if the focus is so much on taking care of the other, then you go to the wayside. So let's zoom out, okay? We're going to zoom out for a second. Because if you guys, you two and everybody out there, take anything from this entire series, it is this. Making friends as an adult is not just about finding the right people. It's about understanding how you show up when connection is possible. Because what we saw today, Andrea, she doesn't have a people problem. She has a protection problem. And Jamie doesn't have a bad friend problem. She has a trusting herself pattern. And this is what pattern mapping shows us. You're not stuck because you don't know how to make friends. You're stuck because something is in you. It's either protecting or bracing or holding back. It's in the exact moments that connection could actually happen. So if you're sitting there thinking, why is this so hard for me? This is where you look. You don't look at them. You look at you. Not like in a blaming way, but in a, oh, this is my power sort of way.
So what is it that we do? Like what, like as people are like looking at themselves, I mean, do they start with exactly with what Jamie and I started with? Like, is that, I mean, is that the first step into helping everybody out there?
I do want to give everybody like, now what? Because many adults are struggling with adult friendships, whether it's how do I get friends and make friends and why am I getting in my own way? And if that's what you're asking yourself, bravo, you're already in the solution. Or if it's I have these friendships and it's not working and I don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. I'm going to review sort of the three things that we've touched on, and I'm going to give you a bonus now what to do that I'd like everybody to try. So let's review what we've talked about a little bit in this series. And the first one is catching that pause. Not once, but every time. Anytime you feel that moment of hesitation before a text, you know, as it comes in, or if you get invited somewhere, or just before talking to somebody right in front of you, I want you to pause and ask, what just happened in me? And you're going to start to see a pattern if you really look at that. So that is just cleanly catching the pause, noticing a pause and like, huh, I didn't want to respond to that text. All you're doing is noticing that you did pause. And then number two, we've gone over stay in the moment a little longer. You might want to outdo Andrea on the 10 seconds, but whatever you can do to stay in the moment a little bit longer.
Try 11 seconds or 12 seconds.
And Andrea, you did do really well. You don't have to become more outgoing and you don't have to change who you are. Just don't leave too quickly physically or emotionally, because connection doesn't always happen like in an instant. Sometimes you find yourself a friend if you stay long enough. That's the key.
I think a lot of people, and maybe a lot of listeners out there, they leave emotionally before they leave physically. And I feel like we need to do a whole episode on the energy that we put out in the world, because for those of you who leave emotionally before they leave physically, you're probably giving off energy unintentionally that you don't really want to be getting off, that's not really conducive to making friends. So when you said that, I'm like, oh my gosh, I bet you this is a really common thing.
And sometimes it's really hard to notice that you are leaving emotionally. It could be just being sarcastic or throwing a joke out there all the time. That's a way to be leaving emotionally, to not show up. I have that third one for you that we have gone over, and that is, oh, that's trust your signal sooner, right? So it's not perfectly and it is not dramatically. It's just a little sooner than you normally would, because the longer you override yourself, like Jamie, I think that 7-year mark you did, the harder it becomes to hear yourself at all. Okay, I have another one for you, and it's a continuation of catch the pause. It takes you one step further after that, and it is called name the story. If you want one more thing to try this week, here it is. I want you to name the story you're telling yourself in the moment, because you tend to react really quickly and fall into a pattern. And then your brain will fill in the blank, like, they don't like me or it's not kind of my people. So here's what I want you to do in that moment. The next time that little pause happens and you start to feel yourself pulling back or shutting down or overbeing, I want you to ask yourself, what story am I telling right now? What am I saying about myself right now? And then this is the important part. I don't want you to argue. I don't want you to fix it. Just name it. And it could be like this if you need an example. I'm telling myself I don't belong here. I'm telling myself I need more proof. Because when you name the story, you do create just enough space to realize it's not the truth. So we're taking feeling the pause and then recognizing that story to it. Oh, I'm telling myself I'm not good enough here.
It reminds me, oh my gosh, like I don't mean to relate everything to being a teenager, but do we like literally not grow up? Because I feel like everything you're saying can be applied to people in their 80s and people who are like 13. Because I feel like we all have like this mean girl that lives in our head or this bully that lives in our head that tells us this stupid story that's wrong. And you're just saying, stop and ask yourself, what's that story?
I'm telling myself I'm not good enough. I'm telling myself I don't buy what I'm feeling and I need more proof. So I'm really helping us to get to turn that mirror inward and look at you.
Can we play our super secret fun game now?
Oh my gosh, I forgot about the super secret fun game.
I didn't.
I love games. Let's do it.
Okay, come in. I have the best way to wrap up our 3-part series on why is it so hard to make friends.
I'm nervous.
Are you guys ready for the hint of what the theme of this game is?
Okay.
Friends. Oh, geez, that one crashed and burned. Yes, the show Friends. We're going to play a game where you're going to guess the character of Friends and why they had such a hard time making friends.
Can we just name all the characters real quick?
Why do I feel like this is a conversation that we're all going to have one day when we're in like a nursing home? We're like, somebody please remind me all the Friends characters.
Is there a prize, like a Sephora gift card?
Yeah. For all the listeners out there who get it right. Wait, okay, so we've got...
Slide into Amy's DMs.
We've got Monica, Rachel, Phoebe, and then we've got Ross, Chandler, Joey. Okay? All right, here we go. Which friend would cancel dinner plans with another friend, but giving them a 4-paragraph cancellation explanation text that gets into their digestive issues, their emotional journey, and...
Ross.
Ding, ding, ding.
Ding, 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 ding.
Good job.
Thank you. I channeled him.
Which friend would run into a friend from high school at, like, let's say a coffee shop and says, oh my God, yes, we should totally get together sometime.
Phoebe,
and
Rachel. Never...
That's a Rachel.
Oh, mother.
That's a Rachel. But
all right.
Who would overshare their entire life story within 11 minutes, including about how their mother lived on the street and they had several cats?
Baby buffet.
Right.
Who
would get invited on a girls' trip and then annoy everybody by sending over a Google
Monica,
Doc? With
Monica.
All of
yes. So Monica.
I got that one, though.
You did.
Who would meet... what could have been a new friend on a cruise ship, but they made them so uncomfortable by giving them an awkward nickname like,
Chandler.
Hey there, Billy Bob. That's right.
Oh, that's shoot, right. Man. We're tied
Chandler
again.
And or Andrea. That's totally something that I would do. Who would send a text message to the wrong group chat about how hot somebody's wife
Joey.
Is?
Joey. Right?
That's Joey.
That's so Joey. Okay.
Joey.
Bonus. Which friend character are you?
Oh, wow. Which friend character am I? Gosh, I got a lot in there of me.
I think that I am a Chandler mixed with a little Phoebe.
Hey, James, do you know?
Okay, I do. And I feel so basic saying this. I feel like I'm a combination of Rachel and Monica.
Okay, Amy.
Okay, I just have to say, when you first asked, I'm like, I can see a piece of me in all of them. And yes, that's so me. But I did have to ask my buddy, Chat. And I was so curious what Chat said. And that, I am not okay. I'm really going to have words with my chat.
Let's all ask our chats. What did your chat say?
No, my chat gave me, and it's spot on, all of them, because it took pieces from all of them. But that's not okay with me or anybody else there. So I'm going to pick one. And my first thing to say was this Rachel Monica hybrid with a sprinkle of Ross.
Like, Amy, like, knowing you, your heart is Ross's heart. And like, because I feel like Ross,
he loves so much.
He does so much.
We should all ask our chats. My chat said, you're a Monica Rachel hybrid.
Oh my God. And speaking of friends, we want to be your friend, whether you're Ross or Joey, especially if you're Joey. Come be our friend on social media. Follow Amy at Amy Neufeld Therapy on all social platforms and send her an email at hello@amyneufeldtherapy.com.
And folks, my final thoughts. There are always going to be obstacles in friendships that are out of our control. People are busy. People are messy. People disappoint. That's all real. But what's also real is this. A lot of what's getting in your way is happening inside of you. So don't ignore the flinch, don't override the pause, and don't shut down before something has a chance to happen. Because connection isn't just about finding the right people. It's about being in the moment long enough to actually experience it. And with that, my friends, I will see you next week. The Now What podcast is purely for entertainment and education purposes and shall not be used in place of your individual therapy.